of the UBS Investor Watch has been published. In this report, we take an in-depth global look at women's wealth. The title, Own Your Worth, Why Women Should Take Control of Their Wealth to Achieve Financial Well-Being. On today's podcast, we'll dig into the results of a survey of 3,700 women from around the world who provided their thoughts on how they engage with their own finances. Please join me in welcoming my colleagues here from UBS, Jane Schwartzberg, the head of the UBS Strategic Client Segments, and Alicia Curry, who leads our client insights within the UBS Client Strategy Office. So Jane and Alicia, so nice to have you both with me here today. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having us.
Sure thing. And first of all, before we even get into it, I want to congratulate you and your teams for an incredible effort on producing this latest Investor Watch, which I'm really excited to talk about with both of you. And good morning, everybody. I'm Anthony Pastore. I am coming to you from our studios here in New York City. So let's get right into it. And let's start by discussing what went into this report. Tell us about the 3,700 women who were surveyed.
Well, Anthony, I think that's one of the most exciting parts about this report. We had done a study in the U.S. last year, and the findings were so compelling that we decided to do a global study of women and wealth. And we surveyed in 9 different countries, including the U.S., about 3,700 women with $1 million or more of invested assets. And we really wanted this to be a robust study. So it included married women. It also included widows and divorcees. So the study, I think, and the findings are very, very comprehensive in nature and really gives context, I think, beyond what you find in your own country when you see how women in specific countries compare to each other in their attitudes and behaviors. It gives real richness and context. So we're very excited, and we think that we have found some very interesting kind of conventional wisdom, myth-busting findings about how women approach their financial well-being, and we hope that they come away from this report inspired by what they learned and inspired to get more involved in their own finances.
Yeah, that sounds really compelling. I'm excited that this is the focus for this quarter. But I guess this begs the question, why would we do an Investor Watch on women and their financial lives? And why do we as a firm focus on this type of client research? Jane, what do you say to that?
I think it is so important, given that our firm has really made a commitment to clients and in particular to understanding women so that we can best serve them, it's important for us to have research-based decisions, to not just say we think women need something, but rather to go to women and ask them what would serve and support them most and where are they struggling or hungry for more information and support with regard to finances and ultimately in their lives and how finances impact their lives. So we have demographics showing very clearly that women are living longer than men. We have the very clear trend of women inheriting enormous amounts of wealth, also earning money at record paces, and many times not only inheriting wealth, but also being in a position where they are choosing to stay single and managing on their own, their wealth, their lives. So all of these demographics really lead to the point that we as a firm committed to understanding and serving women and all of our clients have to understand what's behind the needs. And I would say it's not just women, actually. It's for both men and women. We need, in order to serve all of our clients, we have to see the full picture.
Terrific. And I guess let me ask you both this question, because last year we launched Own Your Worth here in the U.S., which is a focus on women and their finances. And we've done a number of podcasts and spoke with a number of subject matter experts in the field. And Jane, you've done a couple things with us as well. But how does this particular report differ from some of the other research that we've done as a firm?
Great question. Our Own Your Worth research of last year was entirely focused on women here in the U.S. And the findings were incredible. The findings really showed us things like that millennial women are actually abdicating financially more than any generation before them, and also that there are several reasons that women are abdicating, including division of labor. So in family systems, people really are finding that they have to have a divide and conquer approach, and most of the time, the law financial decision making is going to a man in a heterosexual partnership. So what we wanted to do was say, okay, we have these tremendous findings from the U.S. Let's see if they hold up and how they hold up globally. And given that we are a global firm, we very much wanted to shine the light on women all around the world and come to some conclusions about how we as a firm can best serve them.
Terrific. What was surprising to you both in the results of this particular survey? When you saw the details come back, what stood out?
Well, one of the things that stood out for me, Anthony, is the fact that women are, in fact, highly involved in their finances right now. So, you know, I think there's this notion that women are completely taking a back seat and letting, you know, spouses handle the financial decisions. That's only partly true. So globally, 58% of women allow their spouses to make the long-term decisions, like investing and financial planning and insurance. But a huge majority of women are highly involved in the short-term finances. So they're the ones managing the day-to-day expenses, paying the bills, weighing in on large purchases, you know, overseeing the cash flow. So they are, in fact, very involved. But then when it comes to the long-term stuff, they really opt out at a pretty high rate. For the U.S., in fact, it's 54% of women who let their spouses take the lead on the long-term decisions. And the reason that this is important is because women, as Jane said, are going to live a long time, and in most cases, they are going to outlive men. 78% of women in the U.S. believe they will outlive their spouses. So they understand the implications of longevity and that they will be faced with things like retirement planning and long-term care. 80% of women in the U.S. say that retirement planning is their top priority, but they're not addressing that issue today when it matters. So even though weighing in on the short-term finances and managing cash flow and liquidity is very important for women, it's extremely important for them to be weighing in and involved with the long-term decisions, investing, retirement plans, long-term care insurance, because that's what's really going to end up affecting them in the future.
Right.
And they're just not as involved right now as they should be. And in fact, another big surprise for me anyway was that younger women, instead of kind of breaking this cycle of abdication, are actually perpetuating it. Millennials are more likely than women over 50 to defer to their spouses on major investment and financial planning decisions. And that's really surprising, especially when you consider the success of the education that millennial women have experienced. That was a very surprising finding for me.
Yeah, that's surprising to me, too. Jane, was there anything else that stood out for you?
Well, I think actually I'll expand on something on what Alicia just mentioned, which is what's most surprising is this millennial stat. So at a time when we are really, as a society, speaking very openly about the disparity between men and women in all facets of our lives, somehow the disparity in financial decision-making is not, which has enormous impact, as Alicia said, it's probably one of the things that has the most impact on us. Somehow that's not making it to the top of the list really to address. So that was really surprising. And I think the other thing that was surprising that came out very much in the global report is that there is such a higher level of happiness and a lower level of stress when actually decisions are made in partnership, mm-hmm. and when women equally participate in these discussions.
Right. A lot learned here in this report. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about the encouragement that you're going to provide for women who are listening to this. But before we get to that portion, Alicia, you touched on some of the differences between women. But as this is a global study, what were some other things that differed between women in different geographic regions? Because it wasn't just the U.S. and Europe. I mean, you surveyed women from all over the world. What were some of the bigger differences there?
Yeah. So when we looked at the level of abdication, as we call it, so women who tend to defer to their spouses on long-term financial decisions, we saw this happening at the highest rate in Asia. So 72% of women in Singapore, 71% of women in Hong Kong defer to their spouses on these decisions versus very low rates, I mean, relatively speaking, in Latin America. 39% of women in Mexico, 45% of women in Brazil. So less than half of the women in those countries are deferring to their spouses. In fact, those women are the most likely to either take the lead themselves or share decisions equally with their husbands rather than kind of hand it off to their husbands, mm-hmm. as we see women doing in other countries. The U.S. is at 54%, which places us kind of right in the middle of the spectrum. But it is more than half. And so that's still a lot of women really letting someone else manage their future, mm-hmm. Or at least their future financial security. So we certainly have work to do.
Yeah. Why do you think women are actually abdicating when it comes to their finances, and especially in these high numbers that you're talking about?
There are several reasons, and I would say the reasons really change or are become more or less important depending on where you are. But in general, there's some combination of basically we repeat what we saw. So gender roles, like with other things, gender roles run really deep in finances. So if we didn't see our moms highly involved, it becomes even less likely that we're going to be involved. So that brings us again back to the importance of really breaking the cycle and taking responsibility for doing it differently to set an example for the next generation. Another reason is that women, for some reason, assume that men have more knowledge or success in managing money, even though there's really no substantiation anywhere for this. And in fact, some studies support the notion that women make better investors than men, but we somehow, part of the reason is explained because we somehow believe that men are better at it. Mm. And I would say also there is this issue of life is complicated. We're all running around whatever country we're in. We have enormous responsibilities to our families, our loved ones, to our communities, to the things and the people that are most important to us. And so there is a divide and conquer approach. There's too little time, too many things to do. So this is one of the things that becomes very easily something to say, well, I think you're better at this, so you take this and I'll get something else.
Right.
The problem, as Alicia articulated very well, is that in most cases it ends up that what women are doing is saying, you take the thing that is going to impact me enormously, long-term financial decisions, you take that. And so we really want to encourage women to say, maybe you still take it, but I sure need to be involved meaningfully.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think then would be the next steps for women who are listening in here who think, you know what, I'd like to do that too. I'd like to, you know, take more of a part in making, you know, the financial decisions for my family. What do you recommend them to do to get involved in that financial decision making? And then subsequently on the back end of that, you mentioned this right at the beginning, Jane, why is this so relevant for not just women, but for also for men who are listening in? Alicia, do you want to start with that?
Sure. So I think one of the big things to note is the benefits. of equal decision-making and equal involvement. So we're not talking about women wrestling control from men, men wrestling control from women. It's not about that. It's about both
right.
parties coming to the table and having insight and transparency into their finances together. And when you look at women who operate that way and who do have an equal say, an equal awareness of the long-term finances, the benefits are just off the chart. So 99%, I mean, this is almost all women, right? 99% of the women in the U.S. say, if something happens to my spouse, I'm okay. I know all about our finances. I'm not going to panic, at least financially speaking. 97% say they make fewer mistakes when both parties, both spouses are involved. 96%, I'm more confident about the future. I'm less stressed about money. These are just tremendous, you know, just psychological benefits and comfort. And these numbers are uniform globally, mm-hmm. right? So women who are involved equally with their spouses, no matter where they are in the world, the same levels of optimism and confidence. So I think that for both parties, there are huge benefits. And I thought one of the most interesting findings when we looked globally is that, you know, among the reasons that women around the world don't get more involved is because sometimes their spouse just doesn't encourage them to be involved, whether it's deliberate or just an oversight. It's just not something that they feel like they are brought into the fold. That is not the case in the U.S. Only 22% of women in the U.S. say that, you know, their spouse discouraged them or never encouraged them actively. So it's not men keeping their spouse at arm's length. It's about women feeling like they can do this and that they can be involved. And I think that's something that we just want women to know, right? That they don't have to do this alone, that men are willing. Men want the best for their partners. And this is one way that they can help each other.
It's such an enormous topic. And even though we're talking about couples, I would add that when we're talking about bringing men, I mean, Alicia said very well, this is not about wresting control or anything. This is really about making sure that women take their seat at the money table in a very balanced way. And it's not only for couples, for those men who are fathers or uncles or brothers, or even sons look to support their mothers living out the lives they hope to. I mean, this is really a way to encourage the women in their lives to, as I said, take a seat at the money table, to feel entitled to and to feel that it's a priority to be a part of the money conversations. This is really something that all of us need to be responsible for and to take a part of. And it's a dynamic that is not just if you're in a partnership, but rather for all the women you know and love and want to have very full lives. And so let me just continue. You had asked, Anthony, what can women actually do?
Mm-hmm.
And again, my first answer is what we just talked about, which is it's not just about what women can do. This is something for both men and women to come together on. But in terms of what I would say for women is to start with the very secure knowledge that whatever they know and think right now, without necessarily knowing the ins and outs of the stock market or without necessarily knowing how to calculate interest rates or dividend payouts, I mean, put that all aside, all these jargon-filled and definition-filled terms that we think maybe are critical for being long-term financial thinkers. Forget about that and just understand that really all you need to participate meaningfully in your finances is an understanding of what you want from life, what's important to you, who's important to you, what kind of legacy you want to leave. I mean, really have the grounding. We tell women all the time, have the grounding that there is no magical knowledge that's necessary to take your seat at the money table. Really, it's about having the desire, making it a priority, and having the wherewithal to say, I know this is important. I have a million other things, but this is going to come higher up my list of priorities, and I'm willing to make it something that I spend some time on.
Terrific. Jane, thank you very much. What a great way to end our conversation. Hopefully this will get the conversation started and get people to really think differently about how they manage their own financial wealth. Thank you very much for joining me, Alicia Curry and Jane Swartzberg. Congratulations to you and your teams again on the report. Thank you both.
Thank you, Anthony.
And thank you all for joining us today. There's a lot of information to be gleaned clearly from this particular report, and you can get a copy of the latest Investor Watch by going to our website at ubs.com/InvestorWatch. That's all one word, Investor Watch. And of course, if you are a client of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor directly. From the studios here in New York City at UBS, I'm Anthony Pastore. Thanks very much for making us a part of your day, and we'll speak to you soon.